I was standing in the corner of the stage a little bit longer because my wife forgot to say bye to me when she was walking on the stage. Rachel, I'm just letting you know. She forgot. She'll never do it again, though. She's sitting in the back, right back there. I was standing right over there. Matthew Dupre said bye to me. Hi, everybody. Welcome to church this morning. I'm Pastor Nick, the campus pastor here. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, thank you for spending your Sunday morning here with us, worshiping God and praising His name. Happy New Year! Happy New Year. Yeah, 7 days after the celebration, but I haven't seen a lot of you, so Happy New Year. A lot of you probably weren't expecting to hear this morning, but I don't want a year like last year. I don't. At all, not one bit. And last year, I didn't want a year like the year before. And the year before that, I didn't want a year before that. And the year before that, I didn't want a year before like that. And 19 years of that. You're like, what in the world is he talking about? He had 19 bad years in a row? No, actually, I had 19 great years. This is 19 years that I've been a part of the church. 19 years this January that Rachel and I have been a part of Bridge City Church. And every single year, we expect that this year is going to be better than last year. We're going to celebrate everything that God did in 2023 because He did some amazing things. But we serve a God that, as sons and daughters, we expect more. How many parents in the room? Amen. I am in awe of the expectations that Lennon has placed upon Rachel and I. Every day. It is awe-inspiring, as a matter of fact. I can't believe some of the things this little guy comes up with. I actually look forward to them. Now, some of them, I'm like, yeah, let's do it, man. Let's get it done. Some of them, Rachel looks at me like, and she says to Lennon, "Man, you are blessed with a father that is going to just run with you and just you do it." Some of them, I'm like, no way, buddy. Your mom can run with you with that one. But I'm so excited about prayer and fasting this week. You know why? Because I think God is expectant to see His children and His church come before Him with expectations. Come before Him like, hey, listen, Dad, we want to see this. Let's get it done. Let's do it. Use us. Here we are. You know, I got to spend the weekend with the elders, the pastors, and some of the elder apprentices. We spent the night together on Friday night and all day Saturday, and then our wives came, and it was wonderful. We got to celebrate a lot of things and plan and pray and prepare for the future. And 142 people last year gave their life to Christ at Bridge City Church. 142 people. 66 of those people decided to make a decision to be water baptized. So amazing. That's wonderful. At the White Oak campus specifically, 74 people gave their life to Christ. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. 41 of them were water baptized. Now, you may be like, I don't know what I'm going to be praying for this week. I don't know what I'm going to be fasting for. I'll give you something. You ready? We're going to be praying and believing that at the White Oak campus specifically, that 104 people give their life to Christ this year. 2024, 104 people. Because last year we believed that one person a week, 52. This year, we're going to believe for double that. Can you believe for two people a week? That seems like so many. Two. Just two. You know two people. And you'd be like, what's the numbers matter? What do the numbers matter? It's not about the numbers. It's about the testimony and the story and the life change and the transformation behind those numbers. My neighbor, Harlan, got baptized on New Year's Eve. Heartland's been shouting from the rooftops about his baptismal, about being baptized. You'd be like, oh, no big deal. No, Heartland. Sharing videos, sharing messages, sharing pictures all over Facebook. Oh, it's just Facebook. Harlan's just sharing. He's sharing on his rapper page. PK Poo. He's a rapper. And pretty good, too. 4,500 people got to see his baptism. Okay? Harlan was one of those 74. He was one of those 41. And 4,500 got to hear about the transformation. So we're believing for 104, and we're believing for 52. Pray and fast for that. I don't want another year like 2023. I want a 2024. And I want you all to join with us and pray and fast. You got a lot of personal things you pray and fast for. I want to pray for some losses and believe for some losses. The Jaguars are going to lose. The Bills are going to we can believe for that, right? We want to see the Steelers in the playoffs so they could lose there. Okay? But we can pray and fast for that. Listen, we can go to God for anything in prayer and stuff. We can go for it. Let's just do it. Speaking of the Steelers, though, Heinz Field, can we all imagine for a second? No? Some of you, are you all new? Y'all are your new? Audience participation. Can we imagine for a second? Yeah. All right, we're at Heinz Field. It's still Heinz Field. I don't know what an Acrisure is. But I do love the fact that a bunch of Yinzers have to say Acrisure. One of the hardest words in the world. You bunch of Yinzers from Millvale have to say Acrisure. It's great. Yeah. Anyways, here we go. You're up in the cheap seats, which aren't really cheap anymore. No seat is cheap. But sometimes we think, we have that mentality that that is where we belong. We're just supposed to be in the cheap seats. We're just supposed to be watching what God's doing from afar. We're just supposed to observe everything that God's doing. And then we stick around long enough, and then we start moving down closer to the expensive seats. And people start to see us, and we start to see the game a little bit closer. And then eventually you think, oh, we're supposed to be in the game. Then we start getting our heads beat in, and we think, oh, this is where God wants us to be, when in all reality, God wants us to be sitting right next to him as he's calling the plays. And you're like, oh, well, Matt Canada, he got his head beat in too. No, listen, God is the owner. He wants us in the owner's box, sitting right next to him, calling everything for the whole organization. He wants us with him in his presence that close as he is transforming everything. That's what I want your 2024 to look like, and so on. Listen, you shouldn't be the same person this year as you were last year. You shouldn't be the same person tomorrow as you are today. Change and transformation. And I don't want you to be a transformer that you're different while you're at church as you are when you're at work. Harlan put out for 4,500 people that he changed. They better see it now. And we're going to, as a community, help them walk it out. So Romans 12, 1 and 2. Everybody say Romans 1 and 12, 1 and 2. Here we go. I appeal to you, therefore. I love that. I'm begging you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We're going to unpack these verses today. This is going to be our launching point for our whole entire series. What does this look like? God's given us the playbook, but what does it look like to walk these verses out? How do we do this? So many times we walk into church, and today's the first Sunday of the year that we're worshiping together, and some of you may be just giving church a try. It's your New Year's resolution. And everybody gets mad at the gym that, here comes the January people. At church, we love it. We're like, come on, bring them all. We'll help you stick to it. But listen, it's not just going to be a, there we go, it's all good. God can do that, but a lot of times he doesn't because it's a process. It's 19 years for Rachel and I, for me. Rachel grew up in church, but 19 years for me of knowing Jesus and chasing after him. It's been a process. Pastor Larry Powell is sitting in the second row during the first worship experience. Don't look for him now. That's Hope and Millie. They're just talking together. It's going to be such a joy to see them grow up together in the church. I can't wait to see that. And then the lady right here in the second row, she's looking over there. I want to go talk to them. We should have a little nursery right over here in the second row. It'd be beautiful. Pastor Larry was sitting in the second row. He just retired this year from being an attorney. Took him 45 years to get to retirement. But I used to compare myself to him when I first came into the church. I'm like, this guy's brilliant. He is brilliant. But he's just must have always just been an attorney. He's born an attorney. He just always had the beautiful suits on, his long coat. Like, just looked like an attorney always. And I compared myself to him all the time. I'll never be that. And then when I got into his boat, I realized that actually, he didn't become an attorney until way later in life. He was working in an auto parts store when he decided he was going to go back to school and become an attorney. I was like, huh. The enemy will lie to you and try to keep you stuck where you're at when you're comparing others to yourself to others. You compare yourself to the end result instead of looking at the process. We need to stop comparing ourselves to the highlight reel when we have no idea what the behind-the-scenes footage looks like. Here we go. How do we do this? I'm going to give you a three-step plan, and it's not a one, two, three, you're done. It's a one, two, three, repeat. One, two, three, repeat. One, two, three, repeat. One, two, three, repeat. You get it? Only two of you got it. I'm going to keep going. One, two, three, repeat. One, two, three, repeat. One, two, three, repeat. You got it? Okay. Now it's 18 of you. One, two, three, repeat. One, two, three, repeat. One, two, three, repeat. You got it? Okay, Ralph was in the back row like, please, for the love of Jesus, our Savior, stop doing it. He was like, I got it. I got it. Relationships that transform us. This is how we walk through the process of becoming more like Jesus. Relationships that transform us. Getting in the boat with people. You can't just come to church for an hour and a half on Sunday and expect that it's going to work. You need people that are going to help you and walk with you, encourage you, empower you, equip you, and tell you, you can do it through Jesus. I believe in you. Some of the most powerful words that a man can hear, I believe in you. Four words. A father saying that to you as a daughter. I believe in you. A father saying that to his son, I believe in you. I've known Rob Benedetti for 19 years. He's walked through every step of my Christian walk with me and will walk through many more. Every step of the way, I believe in you. I've gone from being a baby. And guess what babies are? Messy and expensive. They sleep, they poop, they eat. Repeat. That was their three steps. To being his pastor, I believe in you. Because relationships, next one, renewing of your minds. Your minds need renewed. How do they get renewed? By the relationships, and lastly, by the relationships that are revealing God's truth to you through his word. 1, 2, 3, repeat. 1, 2, 3, repeat. 1, 2, 3, repeat. Over and over and over and over and over again. When you meet Jesus Christ, you are instantly justified. You are instantly righteous. You are instantly forgiven. And the transformation starts. The sanctification process starts. And you are going to become more and more like Jesus every single day until the day you go home to be with him. Matt, hand me that bag right there. This didn't happen during the first worship experience, but it hit me right now, and it's because I have more time. We're going to be done around 2 today. Everybody say, this is Jesus, okay? Or I'm sorry. Let's see. Who do we want to be Jesus, the bag or the cup? Bag. Bag? It's got to be the bag. It's got to be the bag. It's got to be. I don't like the handles, though, but it's okay. Here we go. Ready? This is you, shiny new Bridge City Cup. If you're a first-time guest here with us, this could be yours. If you fill out a connection card, take it over to the connection point. Okay, this is you. This is you. Messed up, broken, dirty. Here, we'll make it dirty. It's working out perfect, Matt. Okay, this is Jesus. Ready? All your stuff, all your brokenness. Whenever we meet him, whenever God looks at you now, he doesn't even see you anymore. All he sees is Jesus. He doesn't see your brokenness anymore. He doesn't see your shame anymore. He doesn't see your problems anymore. All he sees is Jesus now. Whenever you are beginning to be transformed and renewed and changed by the truth of his word, he doesn't see you anymore. He sees Jesus. You're covered by him. We'll talk more about this in the coming weeks, but, and I'm going to use that cup again later. You'll see why. God loves you unconditionally, but he loves us too much to leave us to stay the way that we are. We need to constantly be changed and transformed and moved to a different place and not become complacent and stuck. Constantly being transformed. And he wants us not to just come into this place and feel like we need to conform to the world around us because we're being changed. And when we're out there, we feel like we need to conform to that world. But sometimes when we come in here, we feel like we need to hide and conform to this world. So what do? We allow for him to completely change us, not just throw some paint on the walls. Not just throw some new curtains up and paint on the walls and, you know, change the countertops a little bit. No, he wants to take our spiritual house down to the stud, some of us down to the foundation completely, and rebuild us. And he's given us the blueprints. Here's a picture so you can maybe put it on your phone and just remember, he's building you anew to how he designed you to be from the beginning, not carrying around all your stuff. I don't know how to read blueprints, but I know that there's some people within the community that can help me. Hey, this area needs shored up. Hey, this area needs shored up. Hey, we're going to work right over here. Right over there, right above that window fixture. That needs fixed. Yeah. Helping you so that you can make sure that you're being molded and shaped into what God wants you to be. Do not be conformed to the image of the world, but be conformed to what He wants you to be shaped into, what He wants you to be molded into, the pattern of Him. So, how do we begin to be transformed? It's a complete metamorphosis, that you're changing from one thing to another. What were you? We were all once lost and broken. We were all once completely separated from Him. We're constantly having our minds renewed and transformed. We're constantly asking for a refreshing from Him. This time of prayer and fasting is a great time to just be refreshed and rejuvenated and ask for a fresh restoration. That's why I love the new year. Not because of New Year's resolutions, but it gets you refocused. I love spring too. Because whatever I did to kill my grass the year before, I can rebuild it. It's great for like a month, and then something happens. Lennon he has a gift. He loves it too. He's like, "Daddy, the grass looks great. I shall ruin." Right, Lennon? Is he back there or is he in kids? Did you go upstairs? Okay. Tell him I did that. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Everybody say freedom!
Freedom!
That's fun. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, our Lord, being transformed into the same image of one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Listen, I'm so, so happy that we get to experience the freedom that God has for us just because we're in His presence. I just want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I just want to be with Him. I just want to spend time with Him in His playbook. And that's where we experience freedom. That's where we experience this peace, this transformation. So when we're together, we should be being changed. Today should change you in some way, shape, or form. Worship should have changed you in some way, shape, or form. Being together with each other should have changed us in some way, shape, or form. Being together in community changes us in some way, shape, or form. Some people are like, I don't need to be together. I don't need to be in community. I could watch the online worship experience. You can. That is an amazing gift that God gave us. And I'm so thankful for our creative team that week in and week out provides an amazing online worship experience for us to be able to share. That is for you to share. That online worship experience is for you if you have to work, can't be here, and for you to share with the lost. Because that thing goes farther than we can ever reach or imagine. There are people right now watching and experiencing Jesus in their car or at work, and I'm so thankful for that. But we can't recreate this. But we can reach so much farther with that. So who did you text the online worship experience to today? Who'd you send it to? Well, I've been inviting people to church. Send church to them. I never thought of that. Well, luckily, I'm pretty intelligent. And we have an amazing group of people that put that together week in and week out so that you can spread the good news. Luke 4:18-19 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor." He's anointed you to spread the good news. Not just when you leave here and you go to lunch or you go to Aldi, you go to Giant Eagle, or you go to Walmart or wherever you decide to go to pick up all your fasting supplies for the week. We'll get to that. But to spread the good news in every which way you can, because if you've experienced the good news and you truly believe that it's good news, you should want to tell people about it. And you can do it with a text of the online worship experience. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord has come. You know, I can go almost row by row and talk about how you all personally are sharing the good news with people in your life. And why are you doing that? Because you've experienced God in such a powerful way, in some way, shape, or form in your life. I can also almost go row by row and talk about how we can all, including myself, do that in a better way and expect more and be used by God in a more powerful way. And some of us might, how do we do that? How do we step out in faith and expect for the oppressed to be set free, expect for more in our lives and others' lives? I'm so happy you asked that. Thank you for asking. You guys are so hungry for more, and you're asking the right questions. So this Saturday, we have our power conference. Nobody is reacting when I say power. Like, do I say it weird all the time? Or are you just that Pittsburgh-y? Power. I pronunciate power properly all the time. But listen, we're expecting more power. So this Saturday down on our North Braddock campus, we're going to have it. What is the power conference? This is designed to help us walk out the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and expect to see it more in others' lives. There's going to be two tracks at our conference. You're maybe like, I've heard this Christianese word, tracks. What does that mean? There's trains. Have you ever, trains? What do you put trains on? Tracks. They usually don't jump or go to different tracks, right? They stay on one until they reach their destination. Unless they derail. In Jesus' name, our tracks are not going to derail. So, two tracks. One, healing. The other, spiritual warfare. The healing track that starts at 9 a.m. is going to be led by Pastor Terry Wong. We're bringing him in from Hawaii. In January to Pittsburgh. Okay? You have to understand that you're called by God to come from Hawaii to Pittsburgh in January. He loves you guys. Okay? He's going to be really speaking on how do we expect for healing in the lives of people. Physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. He's going to be teaching how to expect that, pray for that, believe for that, walk people through that. The other track, Pastor Joe Warner, is coming up from North Carolina or South Carolina, one of the Carolinas. I forget which one he moved to. He lived in Florida for many, many years. They kicked him out, and then I'm just kidding. I love Pastor Joe. He moved willingly to North Carolina. You'll love Pastor Joe. He's going to be talking about spiritual warfare. The enemy that we're fighting against is not of flesh and blood. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your kids. It's not your boss. We're just fighting a spiritual war. He's going to talk and teach us, how do we function in that? How do we walk that out? How do we expect more? We're not just going to talk about these things. We're going to expect for God to move powerfully in our lives. Pastor Joe is going to be teaching that. A lot of you have read his book or been encouraged to read his book, Battlefield for Your Life. You've heard us talk about PMT, personal ministry time. Pastor Joe wrote that curriculum. He's a brilliant man, both of them, Pastor Terry, Pastor Joe. And then Pastor Terry's going to be here on Sunday the 14th, preaching on Sunday morning. And then on Sunday the 14th, we have a worship night here at the White Oak campus. We're going to expect that the people that went through that track for healing and for spiritual warfare are going to be praying and encouraging and doing those things, putting those things into practice. We have a worship night tonight at our Murraysville campus at 6 p.m. We're expecting big for 2024. Join us. Be with us. Walk it out with us. You may be thinking, that was a long, long, long talk, Pastor Nick. I'm just being an example of Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. I'm begging you. Walk it out. It's going to pop up behind me. Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you. I beg of you. I implore you. Do it. I think constantly this week of the sayings that happen within CR, Celebrate Recovery, which happens on Monday nights at our North Braddock campus. You're worth it. So work it. Work it because you're worth it. Is that what, how's it go? Somebody shout it out. Keep coming back. All these amazing sayings that they have at Celebrate Recovery. Work it because you're worth it. Keep coming back. You didn't get into this mess overnight. You're not going to get out of it. Keep going through the process and allow for God to transform you. You may be thinking, well, I've been white-knuckling this. I've been going through it alone. I've been, oh. Well, luckily, on February 4th, groups kick off. Huh. I've never been a part of a group. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, get a part of a group. Don't do it alone. Stop. I have a goal this year, a personal goal. And I'm going to tell you all this. I used to be really good at it, and then I failed. Everybody's leaning forward now. What did he do? What did he fail at? If somebody comes to me with a problem this year, 2024, I'm not going to try to solve it. I'm going to say, have you spoke to your connection group leader about it? And if you say, I'm not a part of a connection group, I'm going to say, well, we're going to get you one, and then they can deal with it. Because this is where pastoral care happens at Bridge City Church. Huh, you may be like, well, that is uncaring, Pastor. No, it's not. It's the most caring thing in the world because we averaged 343 people last year at the White Oak campus. 343 people a Sunday. That was our average. Towards the end of the year, we were almost at that 400 mark. I can't care for 343 people. I couldn't even invite you all over for dinner at my house. If God wants to bless me with that, with a backyard that can hold 343 people, I would be ecstatic because I'd finally be able to get that dog that Rachel tells me we can't get because he wouldn't fit in our house. But big dogs are great for smaller houses. I'm just saying. Done my research. Groups are where you get cared for. You get 25 groups, that's 25 houses, that's 25 times the size that people get cared for. Okay? And that's also me walking out what the Bible says to do, equip others for the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. Now these are the gifts Christ gave the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work and build up the church, the body of Christ. What are we equipping people for? A recovered wholeness, making fit, proper preparing, and setting a bone. Wait a second. Y'all are setting bones? No, we're fixing broken people. How many of you have ever broken a bone before? Only a few of you. This is interesting. Or else you're scared to raise your hand in church. I get it. It'd be easier for me to tell you the bones that I haven't broken rather than the bones that I have. I haven't broken my femur, haven't broken my back, my neck, my pelvis, or my hip. The good ones to keep intact. You're thinking of the bones that I have broken. It's pretty impressive, isn't it? Yeah. I broke my kneecap, fractured my kneecap, but I didn't do the bones behind it. But the kneecaps, both fractured. It wasn't really that bad. They don't really do much for fractured kneecaps, but it was impressive. How'd you do that, Pastor Nick? Bowling. Not both of them at the same time. But you better be careful. If your jeans go under that plant foot, you're going down. It's slippy. It's a big plant foot. It's a lot of man. You land on your knee, you're fracturing that cap. No cap. So, when you're setting a bone, you want to connect that broken bone to a healthy bone on both sides. Here we go. Another physical illustration. Here we go. Who do I want? Sean, come on up. Jordan, come on up. Jake, come on up. You're going to be the broken one. Everybody say hi, Jordan. Jordan's going to get to be an illustration again after this. All right, everybody say hi, Sean. All right, come on, broken Jake. Everybody say hi, broken Jake. He's really broken, okay? Horribly broken, okay? Jordan's solid. He's not broken anymore. He used to be. But he was surrounded by other people. Sean, not broken, solid, okay? This is what we're going to do. We're going to take broken Jake and get some people around him. Okay? So when Jake stumbles, we got a Jordan and we got Sean that are going to be there for him. Okay? Until he is strong enough to be able to support himself and bear weight. Now, do you want to see how the kingdom works? This is how the kingdom works. Everybody clap for Sean. Move down, bro. Healed Jake. There may be a time where Jordan has a slight fracture and he needs some people to surround him. It works. The kingdom of God is beautiful. Okay, and it'll keep going. It'll keep going. This is not a place for healed people to just be. This is not where you come where you're all fixed up. This is for broken, hurting people to come and get healed. My prayer for this campus and for our church has always been that we would be a campus and a church that by the world standards, it's full of people that look like they don't belong in church. And they keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. But guess what? That's messy. I want a messy 2024. Everybody clap for healed Jake. And here, go ahead. And this is healed Jordan. Jordan's healed again. So we're going to pray and fast for our church to get filled with people that need healed. You're going to pray and fast for that? You may be thinking, how do I pray and fast? You may have never done it before. Give up one meal. Give up your lunchtime and fast till dinner. Give up your dinner time and fast till breakfast. I'll never forget the first time Jordan, our worship leader, fasted for the first time. He was in Bridge City Students. He's fasting dinner for the first time. He was so proud, so excited. He came home. He said, I'm fasting dinner today, guys. Rachel and I were like, we're so proud of you. He went upstairs. He's spending time with God. As Rachel and I ate dinner at the table, he was his favorite dinner that day, roast beef and brown gravy and mashed potatoes, steamed broccoli. I'll never forget it. 8:30-ish, 8:45 rolls around, and Rachel and I hear noises in the kitchen and the microwave closed. And I see Jordan standing in front of the microwave worshiping it. And I'm like, Jordan, what are you doing? He said, I'm making a snack. I said, what is it? He said, roast beef and gravy and mashed potatoes and corn. I said, buddy, you fasted dinner. He's like, I know, this is a snack. I said, buddy, you fasted dinner time. He's like, yeah. Listen, I don't care how you do it, neither does Jordan, but God does. Do something, okay? Start somewhere, okay? Jordan has fasted, and he and his wife Maria, they remove a lot of distractions. They fast a lot, and I know they're going to be diligent this week in fasting and praying for our church, for our campus, for our community, for themselves, for their family, for our family. He's family. This is my brother-in-law. My brother. It's not just by law. This is my little brother. He's like a son, but anyways. Okay. Good, go sit down. I love you. That's what equipping looks like. That's what equipping looks like. That's what Ephesians 4, 11 through 12 looks like. I'm a visual learner, guys. I'm a visual learner. I can get taught it, but I'd much rather catch it. How do we walk through all this? 1 John 1 through 9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all our wickedness. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Listen, we receive forgiveness from God, but we receive healing from one another. God gives us the forgiveness that we need and shows us what mercy looks like, but the people around us help us to walk out the grace and walk out the healing that comes from the kingdom of God. We need both. We need each other in this process. Romans 12, 2, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. What does it mean to be renewed, to make new in relation to time, to be sanctified, to walk through the process? Ephesians 4, 22 through 23 says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. There needs to be a hunger and a thirst and a desire to walk out the process. I used to say that the most powerful thing to witness is to see a teenage girl that wants an iPhone. I used to say that. That's power. Like, if you see a teenage girl that wants an iPhone, there's nothing stopping that. They just want it. But now it's really a middle-aged woman that wants a Stanley Cup. If you want, that's... It really, even younger, middle-aged and younger. But I want to see that same desire. I want my mind renewed. I want this sanctification process. There's a hunger there. There's a desire there. I want this old stuff to be gone. So what are the changes you're going to make? I'll tell you right now the things that are going to be renewed. This building's not going to look the same in 6 months. You're like, Pastor, what in the world can we change? We can change a lot. What can change will change. We don't have any more rooms. I didn't say we're building more rooms. We're just going to make them all different. We're going to change some stuff. It's going to look different. I don't know how yet, but we're going to do it. We'll knock down some walls. They're like, there aren't any walls. This is a freestanding building. The only two beams are right there. It's solid steel and concrete. We'll do something. And I believe by January of next year, this building's going to look completely different in our eyes, because we're going to know where we're going in Jesus' name. We're going to have a different address in mind. That's a lot of stuff to fast and pray for. Focus your mind on. Romans 12, verse 2, that by testing that you may discern. Discern what? Is this me or is this him? Is this me or is this him? Where is he leading me? Where is he taking me? What is he doing? He is who he says he is. Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Listen, a lot of people will get to a point within church and then they leave. You know why? They get too close. And relationship, the people are getting too close. I gotta go. The word starts cutting. I can't. I don't want to change. I don't want God in that area of my life. I can't. Cutting hurts. It does. You ever been cut by a knife before? It hurts worse to be cut by a dull one than a sharp one. The word is sharp. It really is. And it'll surgically fix things in our lives if we let it. But sometimes it takes 19 years. Sometimes it takes 45. But it'll always take the whole time until we go home to be with Jesus for that sanctification process to be complete. You can't skip steps. 1, 2, 3, repeat. 1, 2, 3, repeat. Doop, 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 doop. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 70, all scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare us and equip us for every good work. You know, I told you that I was going to give you 3 steps. But I'm going to add a little bit. I'm going to give you 5 more, so it's a bonus. It's like buy 3, get 5 free. Okay? I'm like the ShamWow guy, rest in peace. What was his name? I forget his name. He was local. He was from around here. Great salesman. I can't believe none of you knew his name. Somebody's Googling it right now. Rudy's in the mom room right now, looking up. No, the other one. Billy Mays, right? Billy Mays, there he is. That was a ShamWow guy, wasn't it? No, he was OxyClean. Yeah, the ShamWow guy was trying to be Billy Mays. Yeah. There you go. We got there. But anyways, buy 3, get 5 free. Here we are. 5 ways the Word of God transforms us. It helps us to know what is truth. Because everything's constantly trying to get us off track. Always. It convicts us when we're wrong. A lot of times, people stop coming to church when they're wrong. And we've been doing that since we were little kids. It's just something that's in us. Whenever things get messy, we run and hide. I don't know why all these illustrations are coming out, but when little kids are doing number two, what do? They go behind. What are you doing? Nothing. They try to hide because it's messy and they don't want anybody to know. And then they run around stinking and everybody knows anyways. And they don't want anybody to help them. We do the same thing our whole lives and we think we don't. You okay? Yeah, I'm good. Meanwhile, you smell like number three, it puts me back on the path. Listen, if you're here today and you got off path, you got off the track, why don't you jump back on? And you maybe think, I was never on the path. You were. You just didn't know. You got off of it. We were all created in the image of God. We were all created to be in His presence, but this thing called sin entered the world and separated us from Him. But the cross gave us a way back. And if you've never had an opportunity to accept that gift that Jesus Christ gave us on the cross, I want today to be your day. And it's real simple. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that He is Lord. And you shall be saved. Saved from what? Eternal damnation. Yourself. Your past. Separation from God. So if you're here today and you've never gotten on path, or you were once on it and got off, just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I want 2024 to be in your presence. I want to be with you. I want to know that I'm with you. Anyone at all today? We just want to pray with you, encourage you, equip you, empower you to move forward in your walk with Jesus. Because you weren't created to do it alone. Anyone at all? Father God, I thank you for number four, that it teaches us to do right. And number five, that it prepares us and equips us for a future. And we're going to focus on number five, that, and it leads us into what we're about to do, which is celebrate the past. We're going to receive communion today. Communion's all about looking back at what Jesus Christ did for us so that we could move forward in a covenant relationship with Him. We remember what He did on the cross for us. We look back at the past knowing that we have a future. So if you don't have the communion elements and you need them, you can just slip your hand up and the ushers will be around to give you those. And you know, I'm doing something a little bit new here in 2024. And I learned this from one of our elders, Matt Klingensmith. And I love it because it's an example as well of our founding scripture in Bridge City's history, and that is 2 Timothy 2:2. And that is, take what you've seen me do in front of many witnesses and pass it on to other like-minded people. And Matt said, you know, during communion, I always eat the whole cracker because I want all of Jesus. I don't want to leave any behind. And I was like, you know what? I really like that. And it's not just because I really like these crackers. It's I really like what it represents. I really like the representation of I want all that He has to offer for me. And as we receive communion today, we got a couple more up front here, and Sue needs some crackers and juice. But as we remember what Jesus did, we're doing exactly what he told his disciples to do. We're taking the bread in remembrance of the body that was shed. We're taking the juice in remembrance of the blood that was shed to unite us and wash us clean and complete the covenant. So as we receive communion today and remember all that God has done for us, I want you to do two things for me. And number one is make sure that you and God are good. And number two, I want you to make sure you're good with the people around you. Because this is all about community. A common unity, communion. So make sure you're good with him and you're good with others. Let's partake of the bread together. Partake of the juice that represents the blood that was shed to wash us clean. In Jesus' name.